Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
A couple of weeks ago, we started this series on the questions that Jesus asks in the Gospels of the various people that he met and interacted and encountered. And of course, those questions are actually meant for us as well. They actually peer really deep into our souls, and they ask us to think about what we believe, what we feel, what we think, what we understand of the world of God, and indeed of him himself. Tonight we're looking at this next question. In fact, this is a really haunting question. You find this in both the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and his final agonizing moments, he actually utters out this phrase, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? It needs to be unpacked. Wynne Collier is back again, author of Holy Curiosity. Wynne, welcome.
Hi.
Really is a haunting question that the Son of God himself, as we were talking about in the last couple of weeks, Jesus being God in the flesh, actually then starts to say, they sound like words of despair. It almost starts to cast doubt on his divinity, really, if you were to take them at face value. In the book, Holy Curiosity, you actually talk about hearing sermons where preachers actually tried to say that Jesus would never question God, so it wasn't really a real question.
That's right, absolutely. What was really interesting is that the sermons would be long and incredibly gory about every possible detail about physical pain he may have suffered, but there was absolutely no room for any kind of psychological or emotional suffering. Mm. There was no room for doubt, which, as some of us know, can be some of the deepest kinds of suffering.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So this again kind of revolves around what we've talked about before, is this mystery that we call the incarnation, that actually Jesus wasn't just simply a first century Jew. He wasn't just simply some religious figure, some political figure, some sort of spiritual guru. He was actually God in the flesh. But he wasn't just simply God. He was also fully human. An absolute mystery. It's taken us centuries to try and get our head around it. If we actually say that Jesus wasn't asking questions or experiencing doubt, what do we lose? What do we miss out on?
Well, the first thing I would say is we just miss out on the truth. I mean, it's really hard, I would say almost impossible, to read the gospel stories in any way that is intelligible or in any way that makes sense to the human story and not walk away believing that Jesus really wrestled with this. And then if you move into the letters that were written to the first century church, I mean, some things are lost as well, because Paul referred to Jesus being our brother and our companion, and that we could have faith and confidence in this because he suffered in every way like we have suffered.
Mm.
And if he really didn't suffer like we have suffered, then we've lost our brother and our companion.
Yes, yes. And the book of Hebrews talks about Jesus being tempted in every way, just as we are tempted. And that would have to include not just the typical temptations that we think about, but also doubt and also fear and loss and the sense that maybe all is hopeless as well. This statement that Jesus says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? It's not just off the cuff. It actually comes from a traditional Jewish prayer out of the Psalm book, doesn't it?
That's one of the most powerful and intriguing things about this question. Is that he was essentially playing the first line of Psalm 22.
Mm.
And he grew up, obviously, in a Jewish culture, and so he would have been taught these prayers from the Psalm book. And what this means is that Jesus had been taught by his rabbis to pray this way. And so on the cross, these are the words that came out. You know, it's interesting, just what you just mentioned a second ago about what would be lost. This is something I think that is actually unique to the Christian narrative, is having a divine God who says things and does things that really unseat us in this way. In fact, I think it was Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton, the old writer, who said, because of this event, he said, this seems to be the one religion in which God seemed for an instant to be an atheist. I mean, it is disturbing, but I think it's exactly this disturbing fact that, for me at least, it makes it ring true.
Yes. And when we talk about that Psalm 22 mention, that Jesus is actually stating this phrase out of Psalm 22, the Psalms could actually be really brutal, couldn't they? They could be really honest. They could just say, God, where are you? What are you doing? The world is a mess. I thought I was doing the right thing. I'm being faithful. I'm praying. I'm doing everything you've told me to do, and yet all my enemies are succeeding. They can actually be very, very forthright.
There isn't a human emotion that's not exhibited in a prayer in the Psalms. And I think in many Christian churches, if a pastor or a priest were just to stand up and just read the Psalm as it is and preach that as their sermon with the ethos and the passion that the Psalm brings out and then sit down, I think half the congregation would want to fire them on the spot. But that is our heritage, yes.
Mm. And yet, apart from, I think, a couple of the Psalms, most of them, even in the midst of that despair, normally still end with some sort of note of faith. In the midst of all this, I can't understand it, I don't know what's going on, I can't see what you're doing, I will still choose to trust.
That's absolutely right. And I think that there's two directions that sends me. One is recognizing that the Psalm is encapsulating a whole process. And it's a whole season or multiple seasons of Christian experience. And I think what that means is it gives us the freedom. I think like in Christian tradition, sometimes we have a tendency to want people to move from the beginning of a psalm that may echo despair to the conclusion of a psalm that echoes faith. And we want them to do it in a matter of 30 seconds.
Mm.
But I think this psalm is offering us the full wide vista of how we encounter God, ending absolutely, but not always quickly, but ending in hope because Jesus has come to us.
Yes.
I, for a long time, had a belief about prayer that I felt like I was supposed to say a certain thing, pray a certain way, offer a certain kind of response to God. And then when I actually began reading the Psalms, what I realized is it seems like what God most wants in prayer is just my honesty.
This is Open House right across the nation. Wynne Collier is with us. We're doing a series on the questions that Jesus asked, and tonight is the question that he asked of his father while he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? A haunting question, but it's also opening up new vistas in terms of our understanding of prayer and how we can actually communicate to God and how honest we can actually be. Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. That raises the question of honesty. leads us very nicely to that, because you think it's the same in your culture as it is in ours. The majority of people, when they walk up to somebody, say, "G'day, how are you going?" And normally most of us say, "I'm fine." The marriage might be on the rocks, the kids might be going off the rails, the job might be looking very precarious indeed, but we almost avoid saying what we really actually are going through for numerous reasons. But one of those things is how much room do we actually give in our societies, even in our places of faith, for actually being truly honest?
Very little, it seems, which is a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But here's what I've discovered is, if you'll just begin to open that up, if you'll just begin to let your heart be honest about where you are, people respond. Because I think the truth is, we're all dying to be seen. And we're all, one measure or another, lonely.
Mm.
And we want people to be with us and to walk with us. And isn't it interesting that sometimes in our expressions of spiritual devotion, in something like prayer, at least for me, that has been a place where I was the most tempted to hide.
Mm.
Because there were certain things I just thought I couldn't say to God. And it's kind of funny if you think about it. I mean, God knows anyway.
Yes.
Hiding it doesn't change the fact that it's there. So I might as well get it out into the open and just give it to God and see what happens.
Yes. I remember we were talking about your own experience of doubt once, a couple of weeks ago. I had my own experience of doubt, deep doubt. I was actually studying at a Bible college at the time, started to wonder whether all of this actually was really true or not. And I remember being so freed one moment when I actually found that the best person I could take my doubt about God to was actually God himself.
Yes.
Started praying about God. I just don't know if you're real. And things really changed from that point on. It was really amazing. I felt like the disciples, when Jesus asked him if they were going to leave him, because a whole bunch of other disciples had actually fled after a while, and he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And they said, "Lord, who else do we go to? You've got the words of eternal life." And I still felt like that, even though I wasn't sure about everything, I still felt like that. Who else do I go to? Who do I go to with my doubt, my deep questions of faith? So our prayer life can reflect our society in many ways. We really can sometimes bring that, I guess, that triumphant, that super faith self to God when we pray. How do you think we can just de-engineer that and then start to just be purely, truly honest, maybe even truly honest with our deepest disappointments with God as well?
Well, I think we need friendships to do this. I think we need to have another person who wants to hear our story and who we want to hear their story. To give us the space to begin to actually discover what we're actually feeling. It's interesting how many times I'll ask a person, you know, what's feeling, what's going on in your heart right now? And the answer I get oftentimes is just a blank stare, like, I don't even know.
Yes.
You know, I haven't thought about that in so long.
Yeah.
So I think just discovering it, giving yourself space, is kind of the starting point.
Yes, yes. Well, we can't end this discussion on that question that Jesus asked from the cross, why have you abandoned me, God? Why have you abandoned me? Without coming to some sort of resolution. I mean, the fact is that Jesus asked this on the cross. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead.
That's right.
Therein lies the answer.
Absolutely. And, you know, in that most unbelievable and amazing moment, the story was rewritten. And, you know, Jaroslav Pelikan, the Orthodox theologian, said, if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then nothing else matters. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then nothing else matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I think, the story that I have embraced, is that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I don't have a lot of answers about why I feel like at times God has abandoned me. I don't understand why it seems like right now God has abandoned Darfur. But I believe, and my whole hope is hanging on this belief that Jesus Christ brought God to us in himself, that he hung on a cross and he rose from the dead to kill death itself and everything that is associated with death, and abandonment is absolutely death. So somehow, in Jesus' own resurrection, coming out of his abandonment by God, the reality is that now we can hear the words that the Bible later says, God will never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm.
And so Jesus experienced something that, frankly, you and I had the possibility never to experience.
That's where it's probably a good point to leave, that leaving on that thought that we might feel that in the midst of all of our pain and disappointment, and yet that Sunday is coming. Good to talk to you again, Wynn. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll talk to you in a week's time. We're doing a series on the questions of Jesus. Wynn Collier is the author of Holy Curiosity.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.